Guest preacher today needs no introduction, but I'm really grateful that he's with us, Reverend Dr. John Schultz. It's an interesting thing when you get a little older, I'm talking about myself in this instance, and that people that you really admire and people that are heroes and instructors in the faith, slowly they still remain all those things, but they also become friends. And so I'm really grateful for John's friendship. I'm grateful for his leadership, and I'm grateful that he's going to bring the word of God today. So please welcome Dr. John Schultz.
Thanks, Nate, for that gracious introduction. It could have been a lot worse. It's exciting to be here. I came to Ashland College in 1968, and this became my home church, and in many ways it still is. Secondly, this is an incredible community for me and for my family, for all, and I want to thank you for the support and encouragement, comfort that you've been for our son and our family as we have, as many of you know, gone through a recent period of incredible grief. So thank you for that. And I hope that this in some ways is a thank you note this morning. It's just good to be here. With that, let's pray. Father, pray that you would take whatever I've got in my feeble brain and Holy Spirit, work through these words. Feel free to cancel out whatever is not of you and help us all to hear clearly and not just hear, but obey. To be changed, transformed, and be made more like Christ because of what you have to say this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. The kingdom is not. I thought of lots of ways we could go here, but I landed on the kingdom is not hit or miss. It's not here and there, now and then. It will never be teetering on the brink of extinction. I suspect that in the last year and a half or so, you've had a few days that were less than ideal. I certainly have. And all of us have had a few bad days, I would imagine. And you know it's a bad day when you wake up and the bird singing outside your window is a turkey vulture. Speaking facetiously, maybe God was having a bad day when he made that rascal. You know it's a bad day when you turn on the news and they're showing the exit routes out of the city. It's a bad day when your twin sister forgets your birthday. And it's going to be a really bad day when you're going down the freeway behind a group of Hell's Angels and your horn goes off and it's stuck and you can't get it to stop. Well, there are plenty of less than ideal days to go around during our time that really aren't that humorous. The news channels are full of litanies going from bad to worse. I don't know about you, but every time I engage in a conversation with somebody at a restaurant or the grocery store, the place where you get your hair done, that the conversation doesn't include some negative component. You know, politics, COVID, masks, vaccinations, immigration, supply chain challenges. We're going to run out of bacon. Yeah, that's a bad one. Worker shortages, and you better buy your Christmas presents because if you don't do it now, you're not going to get them in time. Where are we headed? Where does all this end? This morning, I'm going to present the case for an ending that is not where the media would suggest. And to do so, I'll base my conclusions on the parable that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 13. Let's take a look. Now, this parable is in two halves. We'll look at the first half, obviously, first. Then there's a middle section. It's the parables of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven, which Pastor Nate already preached on. So we're going to have the second half of Matthew 13 pretty well covered. So here we go, Matthew 13, 24 and following. The kingdom of heaven, a story Jesus told, the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in the field. That night, as the worker slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat and slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds, of course, also grew. The farmer's worker went to him and said, "Hey, sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds. Where'd they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer said. "Well, should we pull the weeds?" "No, you'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest, and then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them in bundles, burn them, and put the wheat in the barn." Well, this is not a complicated story. It's rather straightforward. The farmer plants good seed in the field. Clearly, the farmer is Jesus. The good seeds are the people who belong to God, the seeds of the kingdom, his family, those who've said yes. Well, let's look first at this field. Notice it's referred to in very general terms. It's not a field somewhere in Ashland County, say on the Hess Farm on County Road 1775. It's not a field at the Van Dyne Farm south of Argus, Indiana. It's not Farmer Brown's field. It's not part of a field. It's not the back 40. So what's the point? The point is this: there are no places. There are no times. There are no people in which the kingdom is not at work. It's not hit or miss. It's not here or there. Obviously, it's everywhere. So moving on, everyone goes to bed, and why not? I mean, the garden's planted, the corn's in, the wheat's been sown. What more is there to do? I mean, do we get upset with this farmer and his workers for napping on the job? No. The kingdom is going to grow. It is inevitable. It is unstoppable. It is sure and certain. It's not hit or miss. It's not now and then. It will never be teetering on the brink of extinction. So, while they're asleep, the enemy comes, plants weeds. Now, why didn't the enemy just come, wait till it gets up a little bit, and tromp it all down, or tear it out, or send a herd? What are pigs? Herd of pigs in there. It's not a flock, I know that. Anyway, a bunch of pigs in there to root it all out. Why not? I'll tell you why not. Because the enemy can't do anything to wheat. The devil is powerless against good. All he can do is plant counterfeit, plant weeds that look like wheat. In this case, it's called darnel, D-A-R-N-E-L, a grass that looks a lot like wheat. It's also poisonous. You eat a little bit, you'll get sick. You eat too much darnel, the weeds, you die. Which reminds us, as an aside, the wages of sin is death. Don't partake too much of the devil weed. Don't. So now we have the problem of evil before us, and an age-old question, which if I were smart, I would avoid this morning, but I'm going to tread where, whatever. If God is good, why is there bad in the world? Why do bad things happen to good people? And I would say, first of all, why do you ask? It's a pointless question. It doesn't do anything to change things. You leave here and you find out someone's stolen your car from the parking lot. And you go, "Why did this bad thing happen to me?" And I say, "Well, if you knew the history of the thief who stole your car, I'll give you an explanation. Here's why. He grew up with alcoholic, abusive parents. He was bullied in school. He's never succeeded at anything. He has no money, and he needs to drive somewhere to get drugs." Okay? There's your answer. That's, if you understood why the thief did this, then you'd understand why, you know, you'd know why. You're like, "Well, yeah, but where's my car? I want my car back. I gave you the answer, but it didn't do much good. You get a bad diagnosis." I've had a couple infections and rather nasty things in the last year and a half, and everybody says, "Why has this happened to you?" And I'm like, you know, every doctor I've asked said, "I don't know." And so you could say, well, it's in your DNA. It runs in the family. You cut yourself and you didn't take good care of that. You didn't clean it out and you know, put antiseptic on it or whatever. You didn't, you know, you ate the wrong things. You didn't floss your teeth, whatever. I'm still going to have some infections dealt with. Doesn't change a thing. So why? I don't know. And if I did, it wouldn't help. The servants, like all of us, asked the question, you planted good seed, where'd the weeds come from? What is the source of all this evil? And here's the best answer, in my opinion, you'll ever get. Matthew 13:28, I like it best in the King James Version, an enemy hath done this. An enemy hath done this. Okay, well, if the enemy did this, why doesn't God do something? Well, think about it now. Careful. Thanks to N.T. Wright, a theologian, and his commentary on Matthew. Would you really like it if God were to rule the world directly and immediately so that your every thought and action were judged, weighed, and punished if necessary? On the spot. If the price of God stepping in and stopping a campaign of genocide were that he would also have to rebuke and restrain every other evil impulse, including those we still know and cherish in ourselves, are we ready to pay that price? If we ask God to act on special occasions, you really suppose that he could do that simply when we want him to and then back off the rest of the time? Oh, God, I want you to do this. But oh, no. Leave that alone. That's mine. These parables are about waiting. They're about patience. The farmer waits in frustration while the weeds grow in the wheat, waiting for the harvest. The birds wait patiently for the mustard seed to turn into a bush where they can rest and feed. The baker waits for the leaven to work its way through the dough. Otherwise, you know, the bread doesn't turn out so well. They're about patience. Listen, the kingdom is already. It's here. But, as was well developed by one of Dr. Stouffer's professors at Fuller, George Eldon Ladd. The kingdom is already, but not yet. You haven't seen the whole thing. We're not done. This story is not at the end. Well, let's move on in our parable. The servants say, well, should we pull the weeds? Now look, I hate this commercial, but I can't not go Dikembe Mutombo. No. Ooh. Don't pull the weeds. What? And when Jeannie and I were in the pastorate in Tyosa, Indiana, the Van Dyne Home Church, south of South Bend, we had a neighbor, Don Morgan. And Don Morgan had the most beautiful garden you'll ever see. He's out there first thing in the morning, and he's pulling weeds that haven't even come up yet. I mean, you could not find a weed in there. Now that's a beautiful garden. That's a productive garden. Why not pull the weeds? Maybe there's a reason why Jesus was a carpenter and not a farmer. Why not pull the weeds? Because, well, look, this story focuses on kingdom principles, not on on God's work, not the latest agronomy practices. Here's your problem with pulling the weeds. And, oh, we are so tempted, and we've probably all tried it. Stop it. Here's why. Remember, darnel looks just like wheat. It's hard to tell the difference sometimes. Every good person that we would say, oh, yeah, there's a saint, well, they still have sin in their life. There's a little bit of Cain, C-A-I-N, in all of us. And every person we would say, oh, pull that weed, that's an evil rascal there. Well, they still have some good in them. So careful and pulling the weed, you didn't destroy the wheat. That's it. You know, the serial killer Ted Bundy. What a nasty guy. Oh, how horrible. You know that he once saved a child from drowning? And that when he was in college, he worked in a crisis hotline center? So what weeds, what wheat, how do we know? You know, the efforts of pulling weeds have never gone well. The Inquisitions were a disaster. The Crusades, they're still a disaster. And then we have Queen Mary I, Queen of England from 1553 to 1558. She reigned for 5 years. And her number one goal was to rid, I think the picture depicts her rather well. Her whole mission was to rid England of the scourge of Protestantism and return it to the purity of Catholicism. Nothing against Catholicism, but in her five-year reign, she had 280 Protestant, leading Protestants killed, thus earning her the nickname Bloody Mary. Sorry if that ruins a certain beverage for some of you. So she graciously only serves 5 years and then she dies. Queen Elizabeth I replaces her and instantly reverses all the policies. Pulling weeds rarely ends well. Chris Boyd and our son Nate were on their way into a football game, OSU football game, a couple weeks ago. And outside on a corner was a rather zealous weed-pulling Christian. Nearby was a fan wearing a Chris Olave jersey. Some of you know that name. If you watched anything last night, you know that name. His jersey is number two. So this fan is wearing a Chris Olave jersey, and our weed-pulling, zealous Christian on the corner says, "Hey, you!" It turns out the guy wearing number two is overweight. "Hey, you! You know gluttony is a sin, and you're going to go to hell for that." Well, the fellow turned around and said, "Oh, I didn't know that. I instantly repent, and I will follow Jesus with all I have." No, I don't think so. If he wasn't already a believer, the chances of him ever becoming one are slim, if not none. Weed pulling rarely ends well. So I have a suggestion. You want to get rid of darkness? How do you get rid of darkness? You know. You turn on the light. Matthew 5, you're the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, not your sword, not your bazooka, not your nuclear bomb. Let your light shine that others might see your good deeds and glorify your Father. You want to pull weeds? Start with the ones in your own life. And make sure you know the difference, because remember, wheat often gets destroyed in the process of attacking weeds. Now, that isn't to say we never say anything about sin, that we don't confront sin. I think I heard that in last week's sermon. Well, I was here. I listened. Yeah, but please be careful. Be humble. You know, James 5, if you can restore someone who, a brother or sister's life has gone off the rails, you're blessed. Good for you. Well done. But pay attention to the log in your own eye before you go picking at the speck in somebody else. Be humble about it. Be gentle. Be careful. Make sure you know the difference. Well, you know, there are two halves to this, so let's get to the second half. Matthew 13, 37, Jesus replies. They said, "Tell us about this parable of yours." So here you go. The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world. Already been over that. And the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat, of course, is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The harvesters are the angels. Just as weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine, let your light shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. The kingdom is not hit or miss. It's not here or there. It's not now and then. God rules the universe. He gets his way. He prevails. He wins. The kingdom at the end of the age is still here. When all time is past, it's here. In spite of how it may appear, in spite of the ups and downs, in the end, the kingdom endures and prospers and is fruitful. Matthew 16, you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The weeds get smoked. Come on. Not that way, come. Darnell's poisonous, it'll kill you. All right, Schultz, you made your case, but I don't see it. I don't see it. All I see is trouble. Well, let's look at my favorite passage in the Old Testament. So the king of the Arameans is waging war against the king of Israel, Jehoram. And there is this prophet named Elisha, who, being a prophet, knew everything that the king of Aram was going to do before he ever did it. So he goes to Jehoram. He said, oh, by the way, he's going to be camped at such and such a place. By the way, he's going to attack you over here. By the way, you know, and the king of Aram goes, wait a minute, what's going on here? They know what I'm going to do before I ever do it. And he says, there's a traitor here. And the advisors go, no. It's that prophet guy, Elisha. He tells the king of King Jehoram everything you're going to do before I ever do it. He even tells him what you have to say in your bedroom. Now, there's a detail I didn't need. And I don't know, why does Jehoram need it? Well, anyway. So the king of Aram says, oh, all right, we'll get that rascal. So he mounts an army, horses and chariots and warriors and archers and all the rest. And they go surround the city of Dothan, which is where Elisha was staying. And the next morning, Elisha's servant looks out the door and goes, boss, we got trouble in River City. And Elisha smiles, said, yeah, well, 2 Kings 6:16, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Lord, open his eyes. Not just the eyes of his heart, but his eyes, you know. And he looks out again and here all the armies of heaven, the angels have surrounded. It isn't long before Aram and his troops are dismissed and gone. Open our eyes, Lord, that we could see not just weeds, but wheat. Here's some examples from the seminary. Radu Turley, my good friend who's in Romania. He was a member of the parliament in Bucharest. He was governor of his state of Oradea, and his whole mission. And when I was there, he built 5 churches with his own hands. Incredible guy, and determined to deal with all the corruption and graft left over from communism in the country of Romania. Magdalene in Indonesia regularly holds conferences for pastors, and you know, over 5,000 routinely show up. Gerald, former Maasai warrior, just graduated a couple years ago. Gerald and Isa are in Tanzania planting churches and teaching. Dolly and her work with Chinese students. You know that in China right now, there are more members of the faith community than are members of the Communist Party? Huh. You know that in Africa in 2025, they anticipate there will be 300 million believers? That's equivalent to the population of, well, as of October 23rd, we supposedly had 333 million in the United States. 300 million is equal to our population, Christians in Africa. In Cuba, the church is exploding. If you go to the downtown Methodist church in Havana, Cuba, right now, over the weekend, they will have had 3,500 people in attendance. And the church, there's so many pastors, they can't keep up with training them. I'm telling you, the kingdom is alive and well throughout the world. Look, I know there's a lot to be concerned about. To be sure, lots of weeds. To be sure, our world is filled with crises. But remember, there are some things about God you'll never know until he shows up in a crisis moment. Jonah and the people of Nineveh, they're in trouble for 3 days while Jonah spends some time in the stomach of a fish. You know, our world, the disciples, the kingdom, in serious trouble until Jesus, 3 days later, comes out of that tomb. That's our friend John Ortberg, a third day God. Be patient. Be patient. Be hopeful and be alert. In the end, the wheat wins, the kingdom's not here or there, hit or miss, now and then. And let's pray Elisha's prayer. Dear God, open our eyes that we could see you at work all the time around us in every circumstance. Look, if you're going to fill in for Nate, you got to talk about a wolf, so here you go. Actually, two wolves. Yeah. An old Cherokee, and maybe you've heard this story, an old Cherokee once told his grandson about a fight that's going on inside of him. He said, it's a fight between two wolves. One was evil, no doubt had a goatee. Anger, envy, greed, arrogance, self-pity, gossip, resentment, false pride. The other's good. Joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, generosity, truth, compassion, faith. Grandson thought about it for a moment and asked his father, grandfather, which wolf do you think will win? And the old Cherokee replied, the one I feed. Pay attention to the things to which you pay attention. It's really hard to do all this and not end with Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or worthy of praise, think about these things. Friends, keep your eyes open for the works of God all around you. Be patient. And remember, the kingdom is not hit or miss.
Staff meeting this week, we were just sharing about what the Lord was doing in our lives, and a bunch of us said that we felt like the enemy wanted to keep us on the hamster wheel of hurry and worry, but the Lord, he wants us to walk on the path of righteousness. So receive this benediction this morning. We pray that you would not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worries of its own. We pray that your life would be full of the wisdom of Jesus, who encourages you to consider the birds of the air, who do not labor or store up for themselves, and yet the Lord provides for them. And for you to trust that he delights in you and loves you much more than a bird. You are his sons and daughters, his beloved and chosen possession. We bless you today with peace, with confidence, and with hope. The kingdom is coming, and it's coming soon. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Go in peace, church. We love you.